The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Clippers are at it again. Another Game 3. And we got a series. Always reminded of that Chris Rock routine. Another kid? Another Game 3? Boy, Ty Lue. I mean, Ty Lue coached teams. Well, you could argue they do fall down in the series, right? He's figuring things out. Like a boxer comes out, feels you out in the early rounds, figures out, probes for weaknesses, then like, okay, flip the switch, let's go. He for my money, he's the best coach in the NBA, Ty Lue. He can get the players on the same page. He can get them pulling in one direction. He can build confidence. He can instill confidence when it's not there, or when it or maintain it when it's in a position where it can go away. He can analyze a game's X's and O's and figure out in game, in real time, what adjustments that his team needs, and make those, and then have the courage of his convictions, make those adjustments. He can adjust in the middle of a series. Think of what he did. He went small ball. Nicholas Batum, when I was thinking, play Rondo more. Reggie Jackson's missing some shots. Like, you know, play Rondo more early in the playoffs. And he was keeping 19, 20 minutes. I figured that's the adjustment you make. You play off Rondo. Nope. That's like for like a dummy like me. Just play the name that I like, that I know performs in these situations more, right? This is easy. No, he plays Batum at the five, and it works. They come down back 0-2. And then in the next series, you start that way, and then you go, no, this is a different situation. We need size and rebounding. Plays Zubac, but Boogie Cousins was still in the rotation, and Zubac is playing next to Morris. And then he realizes, okay, we're going to fill up 48 center minutes with Zubac, and then Morris off the bench for him. Boogie does not get any burn. Chris Paul's coming back on a six Terrence Mann on him. Pat Bev, you get up into Devin Booker. And so does Paul George. I mean, like, every button he pushes. He had a message for, and so those are the X's and O's, like everything you want a coach to do, he does. Seemingly better than anyone else when it matters most. Ty Lue had a message for Paul George after the two missed free throws. After the game, we landed, got home. First person I called was Paul George. I just told him we wouldn't be in this position without you. That game's over. If it happens, that game's over. It happens. Doesn't mean anything. They took care of their two games at home. And now we've got to go win our two games. That's the most important thing. So we can't look at the past. We got to look ahead. Like, you think, well, that's just coach speak, whatever. Yes, if that was all Ty Lue did, but like, that's important to do. And to know when to do and how to present it. But it's not that alone. That's just that would be a shell, right? But it's combined with real substance, with real basketball, and like there are levels to it. The basketball analysis, the acumen, the understanding and experience of when to do what, the courage to actually see it through. Do you think, look, Doc Rivers was coach of the Clippers just now, and they were collapsing in series. Think Doc Rivers would have made these adjustments? Do you think if Ty Lue was the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, that Ben Simmons is in the game? Or like, there were times where I know it hadn't worked in the regular season. Like, I think you got to try Ben Simmons at the five, right? He didn't do it. You think that Ty Lue goes a rotation 10 deep in the moment of truth? Like, swap Doc Rivers and Ty Lue. I think it's pretty obvious. The Clippers would do worse and the Sixers would do better. Chris Paul, by the way. Well, no, first let me get to Ty Lue on the players believing in him.
It means a lot just to, you know, just for those guys to trust me, to understand that whatever I'm doing is the best for the team, you know, not for me, and I just want to win. And, you know, making adjustments, you know, sometimes it's tough because adjustments mean some guys can't play, you know, some guys play more, and you got to be able to accept that, and that's the biggest thing. But you have the communication with your team all year long, and to talk about one common goal, and that's winning, and all of our guys are on board, you know. So, you know, I take pride in making adjustments and try to do the right thing, you know, but these guys are the ones who have to go out and execute it. They've been doing a great job with that so far.
But all that said, and praising Ty Lue, the job he's done, can the Clippers win another game without Kawhi Leonard if Booker and CP3's shots just start falling? Because all the adjustments Ty Lue made, all that stuff, you know, luck is the residue of design, right? You have to be ready for your opportunity when it presents itself, and certainly they are, but the opportunity also has to present itself. Like, no Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers were fortunate that Devin Booker had his nose broken and was wearing a face mask, something he's not used to, and I think consequently, as much as Patrick Beverley was responsible for that, so was the face mask. He and Chris Paul, who was just coming back either off of health and safety protocols or off of COVID, I don't know. But at any rate, he was rusty and out of rhythm. Those two are not going to combine to go 10 for 40 from the field again. You know, the Clippers were fortunate that they went 10 for 40 from the field. It wasn't just the defense. Credit Patrick Beverley, credit Terrence Mann, credit Paul George, and credit Ty Lue for figuring it out. But that's not the only reason they went 10 for 40. They got, you know, Clippers got a little lucky that Chris Paul was coming back after a layoff and maybe COVID, who knows, and that Devin Booker had his nose broken and was wearing a face mask. Because if a couple of those shots fall, Suns win. Devin Booker, what's the key to bouncing back from a game like that?
I've been playing this game for a long time. You know, I've went through every type of shooting slump that you can think of. And, you know, the best advice that my dad gave me when I moved with them when I was 13 years old is have a short memory in this game. On to the next play, on to the next game, on to the next possession. So the quicker you can have a short memory and just be confident in yourself and the work that you've put in. And, you know, I've pretty much seen every type of situation on the court. So, you know, I believe in my work. So next game's going to be better.
Chris Paul on the loss. That was Devin Booker. Now we're going to listen to Chris Paul on the loss.
Yeah, I played this night. You know what I mean? We didn't make shots. You could tell they had, you know, a lot more energy. And I got to be better. I shot terrible. You know what I mean? I got to pick up the pace. We'll be ready game four.
Oh, they'll be ready for game four. I don't know. Like, I as much as I'm praising Ty Lue, I don't think the Clippers can defend home court without Kawhi now that Chris Paul has that first game out of the way. Devin Booker had a bad game. The odds that both those guys will be that cold in a game four, I think, is remote. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Israel in Arizona has a question for me. Go ahead, Israel.
Max. What's up, Max? How you doing?
Good, good.
I watch you guys every day, you and Stephen A., and I really just want to know, how you got a job? Because every time I listen to you talk about basketball, you're always wrong. You never said anything correct.
And okay, let me just say.
But hold on real quick. Go ahead.
No, finish. Go ahead. I never said anything correct. And what else?
Because at the end of the day, I'm talking about when it comes to basketball. The one thing you know is boxing. But other than that, literally everything I've heard you say is literally based off of analytics. And you started talking about my sons, so you got me deterred from what I was about to say. Because you just started talking about how Kevin Durant hasn't been able to win a chip without any superstar. But here is LeBron James, wasn't able to win any chip. And he had to go join D. Wade, a perennial all-star, a Hall of Famer. He had to go join Chris Bosh, an all-star.
Okay, I understand the point. Let me take this one by one. I say plenty of right stuff about basketball and plenty of wrong stuff because I'm paid to opine. And so there's no like, I want to skip this topic because I'm not sure. You got to give an opinion. And I'm not scared to give my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's number one. Number two, I've been right a lot, too. Number two, you talk about how do you get paid to do it and da-da-da, but then you're watching me on TV and listening to me on the radio. So apparently, it's entertaining you or drawing you in somehow because you're watching me and listening to me on multiple platforms, right? So that's how I have the job. Three, Kevin Durant. Got no hate for Kevin Durant. Really don't. I actually like Kevin Durant a lot, and it is a joy to watch him play basketball. I don't take it for granted. I'll say, though, that you're being selective. I mean, sure, when you make an argument, you're being selective in terms of the evidence you use. But you're talking about he had to join Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Of course, everyone has great teammates when they win a championship. LeBron also took a team to a championship. They lost, but he took a team to the finals without a single other all-star. KD has never done that. Well, he was in the Eastern Conference. KD was in the Western Conference. The evidence says LeBron's better than KD. That's not a knock on KD. I'm saying the second greatest player of all time to Jordan is better than KD, meaning I don't have KD in my all-time top two. Not yet. That song means Michael Thompson's on the Goodyear Hotline. Time for Father Knows Best. Michael Thompson. Oh, we have things to talk about.
Yeah, Max, when are you going to get out of jail, man? You're a prisoner.
Of the moment?
Prisoner of the moment. Okay. I mean, listen, Ty Lue, the best coach in the league, better than Steve Kerr, better than Greg Popovich with eight championships. I mean, come on, Max.
Well, his resume is not Greg Popovich's, of course. His resume is not Steve Kerr's yet. But right now, Michael Thompson, if I could choose... Okay, let me ask you. You have a team. I'm not going to tell you who's on the team, whatever, but you have championship aspirations. You can choose any coach in the league. Who do you want?
Well, you start with Popovich. He's the first choice. And then after him is Steve Kerr, number two. Yeah. And then you go to Eric Spoelstra. Ty Lue will be in the top. Ty Lue will be somewhere in the top. But,
you're naming top
now,
five coaches. You're naming top five coaches. Monty Williams is like that.
I said right now, if I need a coach to start my team and build my team, I'll go with Popovich.
You want Popovich 100 years old. You want to start with a 100-year-old guy or a guy who can age with the team?
What are you, an ageist all of a sudden?
No, I'm just being... Popovich is maybe the greatest coach of all time. He can't coach forever, right? Like, you know...
I know, but... Yeah. So what, is he going to die tomorrow or something? You're talking about right now.
Yes, but if I have a team, I'm hoping that the coach won't just be there for a season. And I think Popovich, you bring up Steve Kerr, I think certainly Spoelstra and some others are comparable. This is the top tier of coaches in which Ty Lue fits. But when you consider all things, I would take Ty Lue as my coach. That such a crime?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, now.
No, not at all. It's not a crime, but I wouldn't put him as the best coach in the league right now.
Okay. I would. I'll take Ty Lue. I see him consistently come back in series. Like, I'm very impressed by that. But okay, there are other good candidates too. Michael Thompson. Clippers and Suns. Kawhi doesn't come back. I don't think, even with a great coach, they can win this series. Do the Clippers have a chance to win if Kawhi doesn't come back?
Yeah, I'm really worried about this series all of a sudden because, number one, I'm pulling for my Bahamian buddy, DeAndre Ayton, of course. I'd love to see him get to the finals and win the championship and bring that ring back to the Bahamas. That's number one. Number two is the Suns were whole last night. I know Chris Paul missed about a week of action, but the Suns were whole last night. They're coming in with all the momentum. The Clippers without Kawhi, and the Suns barely won game two. And then last night, they were not competitive basically at all. Okay, first half, sure, but in the third quarter, they lost the game. So that's got me worried now. It looks like, even though the Clippers are down 1-2, it looks like they have received some momentum back in this series.
Especially with Cameron Payne, depending on what his status is, because Payne has been a revelation for that team, Michael.
Yeah, Cameron Payne. Boy, young fellas making him. Talk about missing the other CP. They may be missing another CP if he can't come back for game four. So that's a big loss to them if he's hurt.
You know, it does seem to me, Michael, that we're talking about levels. Like, the Suns have a big three, talking to Michael Thompson here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. In that Ayton, to me, has arrived. He matched up well. I know AD was hobbled. He matched up well with him. He matched up well with Jokic. He's still playing very well. I think he's an all-star caliber player at this point. Obviously,
I said back. Yeah. I said he's the third best center in the world. He's the third best center in the world.
Third, you think? Do you consider Giannis a center?
No, Giannis a forward.
How about AD?
No, he's a forward. AD tells you he doesn't want to play center.
Oh, yeah, but he, you know, okay, whatever. Right, okay, fine. In that case, I might agree with you. Okay, so Ayton's an all-star caliber player. So is Chris Paul. So is Devin Booker. And when you look at the construction of this team, Michael, Chris Paul and Devin Booker in the backcourt with Cameron Payne absorbing the minutes that they don't play, right? Then you look at the forwards, Mikal Bridges and, say, Jay Crowder, with Cam Johnson and Saric. And then you have DeAndre Ayton at the five. Like, what? Like, it's perfect. Perfect. And yet, they were lucky that certain teams were hurt. And the more I think about it, Michael, and I want your opinion on this, I am shocked by how competitive the top 10 in the NBA is. I don't think the Suns, as much as I admire that team and their players, I don't think they have a single top 10 player. And I think they only have one guy in the top 15. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Devin Booker is starting to trying to infiltrate the top 10, the way he's playing, the way he's elevated his game. You're right about that. And since Brooklyn got hurt and just couldn't stay healthy all year long, you're right. The championship window is wide open for about 10 or 12 teams, not only this year and going forward, depending on who's healthy, of course. But you're right, boy. This is a wide open race. I don't know who's going to win. It looks right now like the Clippers have the edge, even though they're down 1-2. I thought Milwaukee was getting ready to make that move. But then Atlanta, maybe Atlanta's the favorite the way they're playing on the road. Maybe we're underestimating and overlooking those young Hawks down there, Max.
You hate to see injury decide the playoffs, and it positively has. Kyrie and Harden get hurt. LeBron's hobbled. AD doesn't play. Jamal Murray's out. Like, every single series, injury is deciding things. Kawhi is out. But the upside is, it is injecting randomness and uncertainty to the playoffs that's a lot of fun to watch. Have you been following what Pippen said about KD and what KD said about Scottie Pippen?
Of course. How can you miss it, man? Are you kidding me? I love this kind of stuff, even though I don't agree with Scottie Pippen.
What don't you agree? You think that KD is better than LeBron?
I think he's right there with him. So you can argue A or B, B or C or whatever.
I agree.
But
with
KD
that right
is right there, KD's right there, shoulder to shoulder. Listen, man, this is the greatest all around score we've ever seen. I know we have Jordan and we have Kobe, but nobody scores all around the way that KD does so efficiently in the history of this game.
Right. And Kerr is right. He's the most gifted. Almost 7 feet tall with the wingspan he has. Can score from anywhere. By the way, unselfish player. You know, can do it very efficiently without taking a lot of shots. Can defend multiple positions and is willing to. Hits shots from everywhere. Like, he's a willing passer. And by the way, an excellent passer nowadays. I believe elevates his teammates. I think all that's true. And I also think it's true. It's uncertain who's better between LeBron and KD at the moment. But, Michael, that's at this moment. But until now, it was clear that LeBron was better than KD so far, yes? Or are you disputing that?
Yeah. For 10 years, LeBron was the man. He took over the mantle from Kobe as the best player in the world. But now Kevin Durant, starting in 2017 in the finals, he showed everybody, if you match him up in LeBron, averaging 35 a game against LeBron in the finals, Max, I mean, that's quite a statement, ain't it?
Not really, Michael, because he had your son, one of the greatest shooters of all time, one of the best two-way players in the game, Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, one of the greatest point guards of all time, Draymond Green, a perennial all-star, he's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame, Andre Iguodala, who also is just an excellent player, especially in that role, ice water in his veins, great defender, former finals MVP, etc. No, I don't think it says so much that with far less responsibility than LeBron, he was able to win finals MVP. Actually, I don't consider that so great. What do you think of that, Michael?
All right. I mean, you make some good points there. KD had a lot more health, had a better team around him than LeBron had in Cleveland, even though Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving were healthy in that 2017 NBA Finals. But you're right. Yeah. The Warriors were a deeper, more talented team at that time. But still, KD went out there, man, and he showed everybody just how great he was. He actually carried that team to two titles, Max, even though he had a lot of help.
The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. I could talk to Michael all day. And Michael, I'm going to have
get
you
him on the boxing show. Get him on the boxing show.
I want him on the boxing show, but we're dark one week. We're going to Vegas to do the show around the big fight coming up. There hasn't been a slot, but I want Mike. Michael, you're coming on the show as soon as we can, right? We can get you on?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do it, Matt. Straighten you out on the boxing, too.
Yes, Michael's one of the best boxing analysts out there, actually, yes.
By the way, before I go, didn't you just say that Trae Young's better than Steph Curry, too?
No, of course not. What I said was he has a higher playoff ceiling than Steph Curry because Steph Curry, when it matters most, is a lesser version of himself. Trae Young, when it matters most, is a greater version of himself. Michael, can you stick around? I'll keep you right through the commercial break to argue with you about this.
Yeah, let's do that. What kind of drugs are you on today?
Let's do it. Michael Thompson coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Now here's where the fireworks start. That's right, I said it. The football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season, much like I'm excited for this coming segment with Michael Thompson. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. You have to understand, Michael Thompson, you know, they have sleepovers. Steph comes over to the house and sleeps over with Clay, and Michael brings him in hot chocolate or whatever they do, and so he's partial to Steph. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. This weekend preview is brought to you by the Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards Credit Card. Earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation. Now, let me just also say the NBA Eastern Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 2 as the Bucks host the Hawks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And finally, Michael Thompson. I said before the break that Steph Curry is not the best version of himself when it matters most. Would you like to hear my argument and then respond to it?
I heard your argument a couple of days ago or yesterday or something like that.
Respond.
And I was my head started throbbing.
Okay. Well, let me just tell the audience. The argument is he has played in 5 finals. He has never won finals MVP. His team has won some of them. They've lost others. The reason he hasn't won finals MVP is he's not the normal Steph Curry under those circumstances. If he put up the normal numbers he puts up in the regular season, if he played up to his standards, he would have at least a finals MVP or two. He has none. I've also seen it in 2016, last 4:22 of Game 7 at home to defend a 73-win record and win the championship at home. The last 4 minutes and 22 seconds, greatest offense of all time, scored 0 points. That's because your son's open and Steph is carelessly throwing behind-the-back passes. They're going out of bounds, won't take a shot, misses a shot. Even this year, last 3:30 of overtime, you know, winner go home, scores 0 points. Michael, it's undeniable. When it matters most, he's not as good as he normally is.
I don't agree with that. Yeah, he's had some off games. All the great Michael Jordan has had some off games in the finals. I mean, rare to find, but it happens. But no, Steph didn't win those finals MVP in 17 and 18 because, I don't know, he's playing with Kevin Durant, who sort of took over. That's no fault of Steph's. Against the in 15, against the Cavaliers, Andre Iguodala was basically holding his own against LeBron James, and that was what got him the MVP in the finals. So, but Steph has showed up in big moments and big games in the finals and the conference finals. Max,
he has, because he's played in a million of them. But actually, normally he underperforms. Like Michael, the reason Iguodala got the MVP is because it was so clear LeBron was the best player on either team, even though Steph was the unanimous MVP in the regular season, even though his team won 73 games in the regular this is the year before. Even though his team was great in the regular season and he was an MVP caliber player, that was not the unanimous MVP year. It was so clear LeBron was twice as good as any other player that they couldn't give it to him because he was on a losing team. They gave it to the guy who guarded him. I mean, like,
and I'll tell you, I'll tell you one thing too. As good as Trae Young is, and he's been great, he might be the MVP in the playoffs so far the way he's playing, but he doesn't face the same scrutiny on defense attract the same attention that Steph does. You know that for a fact.
No question. Steph has crazy defenses thrown at him, but you got to figure out what to do about it, Michael. Like, look, I call it like I see it. I'm okay. You give me, not because you're on the show, because if I felt otherwise, I would tell you. If someone said, do I feel Klay Thompson is a clutch player? I would say yes. Klay is a guy with the money on the line. Like, there's a famous quote of mine where I say, give me Iguodala, right? Martians have the death beam pointed at the Earth, fate of the universe on the line, one shot to win the whole thing. If it's an open look, not he has to create the shot, it's an open look. I'd rather have Iguodala than Steph. I think Iguodala has ice water in his veins. He's not scared. To me, something happens to Steph. Sometimes he hits it, but too often he does. That's not the case with your son. Klay Thompson's clutch. Klay Thompson's fearless. I don't get the same feeling as Steph. Tell me I'm wrong.
So let me get this straight. 10 seconds ago, Warriors had the ball in the last 4 or 5 years ago. You need one more shot. Steph Curry is not your number one option. Andre Iguodala is?
No. Nowadays, if it was an open look, it would be Steph because I saw him turn the corner against Toronto. 2015, 16? Oh, no, no. If it was a wide open look to hit it, I know Steph would miss it and Iggy would hit it. Oh, I saw it too many times.
You know, there are 7 billion people on the planet, and I think you're the only one who would take that position.
That's right. I'm not. That's okay. I'm not scared like Steph in the big moment. No, listen, it sounds like I'm anti-Steph. I'm not anti-Steph. I think he's one of the all-time greats. But the fact is he's not higher because I've seen him not be the best version of himself when his team really needs it. Sometimes, yes, but too often not. That's my point. Michael, you know how many times, you know, Steph's played in 27 Western Conference Finals games. You know how many times he scored 48 points? Zero. Trae Young played in one, scored 48 points.
Max, he doesn't have to when you got Kevin Durant, you got Klay Thompson and Harrison Barnes and people like that to share the ball with. What are you talking about?
But does he have to score 1 point in the last 4:22 in the fourth quarter in Game 7 at home against the Cavs in 16? Could he score 1 point then? Because he didn't. Not one.
Yeah, so you're going to hold that against him forever because he failed once?
Yes. No, no, not just – no, he's also like – give this year. Take this year, for example. He was great, and the only reason they were competitive is they had him. But in the last 3:30 of overtime, he didn't score a single point, and they got sent packing by not such a great team. You know, like, I'm not saying he has to be perfect. I'm saying compared to the other all-time greats, he is not one of those guys where it's like, wow, Steph is normally way up here, which he is, and under the biggest pressure, he even gets better. That's not him. It's just not him.
He didn't score a point against my Lakers team because Frank Vogel triple teamed him the minute he got to half court. Now, if you wanted him to jack up a 45-footer, he could have done that. But whatever he got within range, which was 40 feet, KCP and Caruso and another guy was all over him and made him give the ball up or
by
not
the way,
get the
fair,
ball.
Fair. Steph is he's partly a victim of his own greatness. He's so deadly from anywhere that he commands ungodly attention, you know, in those moments. But he's got to figure out what to do better than he has so far, Michael. Like, you know, the Warriors – look, the Warriors would have lost to the Cavs had Kyrie and Kevin Love been healthy in 15, obviously, because they went six games without those guys, obviously, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, from Max Kellerman, Anthony Joshua better than Evander Holyfield and Derrick Henry better than Jim Brown.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that Steph Curry's never been the best player on a championship team, except for the one time that Kyrie and Kevin Love both got hurt, or else they wouldn't have won the championship that year either. But in the regular season, he's a unanimous MVP. So why can't he be that when it matters most?
I hear you say that all the time about how the Warriors were fortunate in 15. Yeah, you're right. Without Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, they were a completely different team. But with those two guys, it would have been a 50-50 NBA Finals, Max.
Oh, come on. It went six games without him. It went six games without him. They lost game one. The game Kyrie got his knee hurt, actually, the Cavs lost. They won. They then won two of the next, what was it? Two of the next five. So how'd they do that? They went 2-3 without those guys. All right, look. The great Michael Thompson. I wanted to ask him how Klay was doing, but we always wind up yelling at each other. By the way, where do I get off yelling at all these former NBA players about things concerning the NBA? I don't know. I have opinions, and it doesn't matter how many times I'm proven wrong or how much experience the other guy has. I'm sticking to my guns, damn it. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Michael, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Hip-hop versus rock and roll knowledge. The crossover is next. Major League Baseball is on ESPN Radio. We got two games on our air this week. Tomorrow, Phillies at Mets, 4 p.m. Eastern. Jacob DeGrom on the mound. Don't miss it. He's having one of the greatest stretches in sports history. In the history of sports anywhere in the world. One of the greatest stretches right now. On the mound, ESPN Radio, 4 o'clock tomorrow. And then on Sunday Night Baseball, Cubs at Dodgers, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. This MLB weekend preview is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Tune into an NL battle Sunday as the Dodgers host the Cubs, presented by Credit Karma. Coverage of the Sunday night baseball game begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. All right. What do we got, Raj?
Here we go. This is where we test your rock and roll knowledge against Brendan's hip hop knowledge, and you are the defending champion. It's about time you won.
Aerosmith.
2 weeks ago,
you sorry.
Yeah. But we'll start you off with an easy one. Now, Tom Petty, you remember the name of his band. Brendan was going to have that be the name. You remember the name of it, I'm sure. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
The Heartbreakers, you knew that. Yeah. I said, no, let's give him something a little easier. Just name me a Tom Petty song, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Tom Petty.
I couldn't name give one Tom Petty song.
Come on, man. He's on MTV all
Did
the time.
Tom Petty do that Last Dance with Mary Jane? Was that Tom Petty?
Is that it, B?
What did he say? I didn't hear.
Last Dance with, or Last Song with Mary Jane.
It's not the name of the song. It's close enough, though. We'll give it to him.
All right. Good job, Max. You got it. I wouldn't even have got that one.
Yay for me.
All right, your turn.
When I was a small child growing up in the Midwest, Raj.
All right. Yeah, yes. I know. Hey, B, I know you watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right? With Will Smith and all.
Give me the opening line.
Give me the opening line. Rap me the opening line to his theme song.
I don't even know if I could steal this.
Oh, man.
Come on.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Oh.
Go ahead, B. One for one.
I don't think I would have gotten that right.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good job. I like the way you rapped it, too. Hey, remember Pete Townsend, right, Max? The guitarist? Used to whirl it. Yeah. What's his band? Tell me the band name that Pete Townsend played for. Still plays for, I'm sure.
No idea.
Oh, yeah, you know for the steal, taking the lead.
Well, you know who Pete Townsend is, though, right?
Not really.
Oh, gosh.
I'll take the lead when I say The Who. 2-1 me.
Yeah, you don't really get
the steal. Sounds right. I like The Who. Whenever someone plays me a song, they say it's The Who, I say it's pretty good.
2-1 me.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Hey, B, in the 80s, this band was talking for bringing the Daisy Age into hip-hop. It was a band in the 80s. They were known for bringing the Daisy Age. What's that band name?
I don't even know what that means. The Daisy Age?
Yeah, daisies. Pluck one, pluck two. You don't know that, yeah?
I don't even know what that means, so no.
Can I steal?
I can't even get that.
Hip-hop hippies. Hip-hop hippies kind of is what it is.
Arrested Development.
No? No, but good.
De La Soul.
De La Soul would be the answer. That's right. We got a 2-for-2 game here. All right, let's go to Max. Max, how many of the Beach Boys, you know the Beach Boys?
I do. Man, I'm aware
how
of
many
them.
Of them actually surf? You know all their stuff.
First of all, I don't know
surfing.
How many Beach Boys there are.
Let's say there's five. Usually there's five in a band. So I'm going to guess.
I'm going to say none of them surfed.
That is close. B, do you know how many of the Beach Boys actually surf?
What a ridiculous question this is. where do you find these stupid questions?
I just think of them in my
mind. One.
That is correct.
Yeah, because you said it was close. That's not fair. Yes. I'm protesting. This is done under protest.
B, 3-2, got the lead.
B, last one. The lead singer, if you will, the rapper for Boogie Down Productions is who?
Again, I don't even know what that means. Boogie Down Productions?
BDP. South Bronx.
Can I steal?
Oh, this is a shame. This is my favorite rapper. I've said it multiple times. One of my favorite of all time. He, Chuck D, and Andre 3000. Max, go ahead.
If you want to join the crew, you must see me. Huh?
Who is it? Who is it, B?
DeMarcus Cousins.
KRS-One.
That's right, KRS-One.
Yay!
Okay, Max, since it's a tie, you're the champ.
By the way,
you can't lose.
When you talk about actual what MCing is, like live MCing, he might be the best who ever did it.
He might be the best ever did it. You won on the draw. You got time for a call, Max. Go for it.
Jamel in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio. Yes, sir.
What's up?
Hello.
We have 30 seconds.
We have 30 seconds. All right, hey, Max, real quick. So I grew up in New York. I grew up during the Jordan era, and now I'm witness to the LeBron era. And if you had five Jordans on the court versus five LeBrons on the court, five Jordans on the bench, five LeBrons on the bench, who's going to win the best out of seven?
I have no idea. What kind of a question is this? Jordan's better than LeBron. I don't know, 10 on 10, maybe LeBron because he's bigger. Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.